Welcome to the Full Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording. It's 11:46 p.m. and that is British Summer Time, and today is August 2nd. I do apologise for the late recording. I'm in Cambridge at the moment and had a very pleasant evening enjoying the performance of Romeo and Juliet at King's College with in the company of David Brown, and it was just a wonderful evening, but I did cut into my usual schedule. But there was a lot happening in the markets today, and I thought we'd kick off with the 10-year yield, and it's up 5 basis points and now clearing up above the 4% level, hitting a new 8-month high. And there is obviously the potential that we could see additional upside, because the bond market is a market like any other. And on the one hand, you have the US government, which is selling more bonds, and they anticipate selling about $1 trillion in bonds this quarter. That's a lot of money. And most importantly, where does that money come from? Well, it comes from the banking sector. The banks are going to be, in one way or another, obligated to buy those bonds. And they may demand a higher yield in order to do so, but those bonds will eventually be sold. And then you have stronger employment data, much higher, almost double the expected number. So that is suggesting that the economy is still fairly resilient, but that the US government is continuing to borrow a lot of money, that you have very high deficits, and therefore yields should go up. Well, if yields go up, and there is obviously then the potential that rates might go further, well, then it's going to put downward pressure on stocks. And it does come back and help to highlight that there is a valuation mismatch, that when you have high bond yields, then it makes them more competitive relative to stocks. But it's the correlation that we have right now is something that is going to be some will be a reminder to investors that we are in a more of a risk-off type of environment. So we had concurrent declines in both bonds and equities during 2022, and that was in direct response to interest rate sensitivity. That interest rate sensitive portions of the market sold off aggressively, so did bonds because they're interest rate sensitive. And that led to a negative performance of both bonds and equities, called into question the reliability of the 60-40 or balanced portfolio strategy, and really became a significant problem for just about all asset managers. So we've had not too many of those occasions in 2023, but today was one of them. The Nasdaq was down 347 points, but it not only did it gap lower, this is also a new reaction low. Now, it has not yet broken down through the underlying short-term range. It could yet rebound tomorrow. So the trend has not quite been broken yet, but there are certainly risks of a mean reversion, particularly when we look at the weekly chart and we can see that we're in the region of the 16,000 level and the peak from back in late 2021, and we have approximately a 2,000 point overextension relative to the 200-day moving average. So it wouldn't be that surprising if we see at least some pause in consolidation. Then let's think about what's going on with a company like Tesla. I think that there are some clear similarities to the life trajectory of Donald Trump and Elon Musk, at least at the moment. Donald Trump is having indictments lodged against him, and he sent out an email to his campaign today saying that everybody knows that he hasn't done anything wrong, that this is a witch hunt, and that there's nothing to see here. And Elon Musk came out and said today, well, yes, I understand that I am the boy who cried full self-driving, and I promise it's going to be ready by the end of the year. We're almost there. And this is, of course, all happening at the same time that Tesla is having cases lodged against it, whether it is about the steering, the integrity of the cars or its claims around full self-driving. So the share is in positive territory in after-hours trading, but it was down a couple of percent yesterday, or I guess in today's trading, I should say. And we're testing the 300 level. It's up 200% since the beginning of the year, and it could easily unwind that overbought condition and come back down into the region of the 200-day or even 1,000-day moving average. And it's at that point we'll see just whether we get support coming back in. But I think it's important just to simply highlight that we have a very clear divergences on the RSI, because the RSI hit a peak in June and it's had lower rally highs since then. We've had higher highs on Tesla, and it's not just Tesla. If we look at Google, I think Google is a great company, and of all the FAANG companies, I would think that it's probably one that will do better than most. We don't have quite the same divergence, but it is overbought and it's coming back down. When we look at Microsoft, well, we've got a similar situation where you have the inversion, excuse me, the divergence. So the peak came in May, it continued to hit new highs, and now it's starting to roll over. So it hit a new reaction low in here today, and the potential for a reversion back down towards the mean looks more likely than not. So there's the realistic possibility that what we're looking at here with at Microsoft is a failed upside break, and these are important factors. So when we then turn this around and we look at the relative performance of the eight large companies relative to the total market, well, it's starting to look more like a peak. And this could also turn into a failed upside break. So I think what we're seeing evidence of today is some risk off, and that is also being reflected in the dollar. So the dollar was stronger today. And what this is also suggesting is that people selling both bonds and equities, well, then they end up in cash. So that creates demand for the dollar. That's exactly what we're starting to see. And the dollar is unwinding its short-term overbought condition. So the pop in yields and the downgrade of the US debt, that has had repercussions internationally. So if we then just look out at Asia, the Japanese market pulled back by 700 points on the second, and this is suggesting at least some further consolidation. And then the Chinese market, despite the fact that the Chinese government continues to talk about the kinds of measures they're going to implement to support the economy, the CSI 300 continues to pull back. Now, we've had quite a lot of speculation around when we're going to see some stimulus. And then I think it's interesting that when we look at some of the semiconductor companies in China, then they all bounced in here today. And that was on speculation about new superconductor technology that Chinese researchers say they've replicated an experiment that was conducted last week in South Korea. And we had a big jump in several of those semiconductor companies. But just because they can repeat an experiment, the time to commercialization for these kinds of technologies is not days or weeks. It's more likely years and could potentially be a decade. We've seen more than a few false dawns in the ambient temperature superconductor field. And the reality is that it's very difficult. And let's just think about it. It's a contradiction to say that the laws of physics are being contravened, when the headline is that there's no loss of energy in transporting energy across a surface. Then that's obviously contravening the laws of physics. But it's further evidence of the kind of mania that we're in, that there is this very manic environment where people are very eager to jump on the most inspiring, pressing theme and devote assets to it. We've seen exactly the same thing with artificial intelligence. And I think what most people are forgetting is artificial intelligence has been a theme that's been underway now for several years already. And what we're really looking at is large language models, which do a great job of creating drafts. But then you do have to firm it up. So that saves some time and energy and effort, and that there's absolutely no doubt about that. But is it going to replace the human being immediately? I think that's unlikely. Will it reduce the need for administrative staff? Well, that is quite possible. And I think that is also where we'll see some job openings up. Of course, if we have higher unemployment, that's the kind of thing that would contribute to the interest rates starting to come down. Excuse me, I just need to cough. Excuse me. So, China is still a rather difficult market overall. Now, when we look at China Vanke, I think this is the property developer to pay particular attention to because it is state-owned. And the share, having rebounded and broken the sequence of lower rally highs, is starting to come back down again. And it still looks like a downtrend overall. But then let's also think about India. The rupee was a bit weaker in here today, so it is falling back. And the Nifty was also in negative territory. It's a bit overbought in the short term, but holding the sequence of higher reaction lows and firming from around the 19,500 point level. So it's still a reasonably benign environment. Then in Vietnam, it's likely to be a beneficiary from reshoring or the desire to do a China plus one strategy. And having been in negative territory yesterday, the index was in positive territory today. Now let's go over and look at Brazil. They cut interest rates by 50 basis points. They were expected to cut interest rates by 25 basis points, and they went ahead and cut by more. And they also signaled that they'll probably cut by an additional 50 basis points. So there is the potential here that they're going to be more aggressive in trying to support the economy, because they were very aggressive in raising rates. They left them high for quite a long time. They were waiting for inflation to come down. It did come down. They waited a while longer to see economic weakness. Now the economy is weakening, and they'll have to cut interest rates aggressively. Well, I purchased PagSeguro and StoneCo yesterday. And that was not great timing. They both pulled back fairly sharply in here today ahead of the release of the Brazilian news. So I would like to think, at least, that they've got a very good chance of rebounding tomorrow. But we'll have to see what happens. And StoneCo has got first step above the base characteristics. And it did look like it was popping on the upside yesterday and then pulled back rather sharply in here today. But I think there's a fighting chance that this is just a consolidation prior to additional upside. So I'm going to continue to hold these positions. I'm not going to panic out of them. I might be willing to buy more if we get any kind of additional weakness, because I strongly think that the fintech sector is high growth in Brazil. And there's a very significant proportion of the population are using these fintech apps. And because consumer demand has been low and interest rates exceptionally high, then it's been a real difficult environment for those fintechs. So with interest rates potentially coming down significantly further, then that will remove a headwind. But it's really a question of how long it takes for that to manifest. And then, of course, we're going to have the Brazilian real weakening. So with the dollar strengthening, there is a clear potential that the real will at least unwind its overbought condition relative to the 200-day moving average. And then let's also just pay attention to what's going on with Mexico. The Mexican peso has been among the strongest currencies in the world over the last year, and it is also overbought relative to the 200-day moving average. eventually they're going to start cutting interest rates as well. We've had a good sized gain in the MSCI Mexico ETF. Now we're going to see at least some pause of consolidation. It was down in a fairly dynamic manner in here today, so quite likely to come back down into the region of the 200-day moving average. What I found interesting today was that despite news that the inventories of oil declined, oil prices were in. I do apologize, I'm not doing a very good job of putting this chart up. Brent crude, for example, was in negative territory and down in a fairly dynamic manner. So, encountering resistance around the $85 level. And that's, I think, more supportive of the potential that we're going to have less demand, that interest rates going up will create a more difficult environment. So, we've had an impressive advance. And now the next question is, are we going to see just a pause here? It will support be found in the region of the 200-day moving average, or will oil prices come straight back down again? So we're in a very difficult environment, and these kinds of dynamic moves aren't confidence inducing. I've been very much of the view that we're due at least a pause of consolidation, and I'm leery of thinking about the oil price, but today's downward dynamic, it certainly checks the advance. Now, I think it is imperative that if the bull is going to be given the bull market hypothesis to be given the benefit of the doubt, then the $80 level will have to hold, because otherwise it's going to be a failed upside break. So we're certainly in a volatile environment for oil, and I haven't been tempted to jump in and buy it. Natural gas prices have been pulling back from the $3 level. They've been very depressed and continue to range lower from here. So we're in a very inert environment, and this helps to highlight that the supply situation for natural gas internationally is not nearly as pressing this year as it was last year. Now, we've had droughts starting to come through and in Thailand, and that's potentially a result of at least the beginning of the El Nino cycle. So the Thai government is beginning to talk about not providing any further water to increasing rice production, and Thailand exports premium rice, and they definitely have the best jasmine rice. So rice prices are starting to recover again. We had a fairly dynamic move yesterday and follow through on the upside today. Then at the other end of the spectrum, we have wheat, and that has been pulling back very sharply over the last five sessions. And Russia is bombing export capacity in Odessa and the Odessa region, but Ukraine has signed deals with Romania and Croatia and might be able to export via the Black Sea there with Romania or into the Adriatic with Croatia. So it does look like they will be able to get their crop into the international market. But we've just also had this incredible flooding event in northern China, where in the Beijing region, 27 inches of rain fell in about 4 days. And that's an incredible rain event. And that storm is now moving up into the grain belt. So there is the possibility that the grain harvest in China is either going to be waterlogged, or it's going to or the plants are going to sustain fairly significant damage, and that's certainly a bullish potential outcome for later on this year. But the price right now is coming back into the region of the lower side of the range, a potential area of support around the 600 cent level, and we'll definitely need to see an upper dynamic in order to confirm that support has been found. Then corn prices also pulled back fairly sharply and are approaching an area of potential support. I'm still long of oats, and the price has been fairly inert. We're in a, it looks like a first step above the base, but the price was a little bit softer in here today. So as we look at the broader market environment, we're certainly looking like a reversion to the mean is more likely than not in several of the markets. And this is as true in Asia as it is in the USA, and certainly also in Europe. And the FTSE 100 was down 100 points in here today and still holding the sequence of lower rally highs. And this is a fairly dynamic move. So I think it is more likely than not that we're going to come back down and test the region of the 200-day moving average. Then the Euro Stoxx index, a very similar situation here. And this is a downside weekly key reversal in the making. If the declines are held through the end of the week, then that's going to be a failed upside break, and then it will quite likely test the region of the 200-day moving average, but potentially the 1,000-day moving average. So we're entering a risk-off period. I've been saying for several weeks that this is the time to be diligent with stops, and there is certainly the potential that the wider market will outperform the mega cap tech shares, which have been doing all the running over the year so far. And I think with that, I'll leave you for today, and I'll wish all the best to all of you.